Let me begin this morning by saying how pleased I am to have Linda back with us. The singing has sounded so much better. It always does when she's here. We've had several times of meeting when she wasn't here, and it is good to have her with us. I'm going to speak this morning and preach another sermon on time. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. This will be our text, and we'll read it here momentarily. But there have been many sermons over the years preached on time. There have been many times that time has been discussed in classes and sermons, not to mention how often discussion occurs as to how one is affected by time or the perceived lack thereof. Comments were made this morning as to the fact that I don't remember whether or not falling back gives you an hour or makes you lose an hour, but it seems like we lost two. So time affects us all and even seems to pass us by if we're not careful. We did just fall back an hour since daylight savings time has officially ended, and it seems that this part of the year we have less time because we have less usable daylight. I want to notice some things about time this morning, and perhaps you've not contemplated these. We have a great opportunity to do so this day. First, I want to mention time's power. One thing that time will do will show or expose what is truly within a person. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, as Jesus was upon the Mount of Olives, as he delivered the sermon there, the Sermon on the Mount, he told us something that perhaps we did not know. When we first meet someone, we cannot tell how or what they are. We cannot tell how they will conduct themselves. But in time, we can know. He says, "Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them." When a person produces fruits, you can tell what kind of person they are. And in time, if properly used, the dedicated Christian will grow. He will mature. He will be able then to teach others. And this seemed to be the problem in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, with the Hebrews to whom this was written. In fact, it is God's plan for salvation and Christian living to be spread, the message of Christian living, the message of salvation to be spread, one teaching another. That teaching, of course, must be in full accordance with the Word of God. These Hebrew Christians to whom this was written perhaps had not used their time for proper growth. The passage reads, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Part of the power of time is to present opportunities. Think about how many more opportunities that you could have if you had a longer time in which to carry them out. We all have things we want to get done during the day, don't we? We all have things we want to accomplish. And at the end of the day, there is a list. A mental one, but a list nonetheless. It says, "I didn't get a chance to do this or this or this." Well, I know what we do. We typically just shove them on into the next day. And the next day becomes even more crowded. And we've got things to do on that day. And before you know it, some of those things perhaps don't get done. But part of the power of time is to present opportunities, and part of these opportunities is to be able to prepare ourselves for growth, to learn. God does not expect the new Christian, the babe in Christ, to know as much as the long-time Christian. I say that from the standpoint that not everybody grows at the same time frame or in the same time frame. They don't grow to the same degree. They don't learn as quickly as others. But he does expect all to grow. He expects all of his children to use the time they've been granted so that they might learn and how they might mature. And part of the learning would help them to see what our text tells us. It tells us, which we'll get to a little later, that we shouldn't waste our time. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor to the battle to the strong. neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. There's a possibility that an incident or an accident can happen that will change your whole perspective of time. How many Christians today have properly accessed the power of the time granted them to gain the required knowledge and skill to teach others? Don't you know that that's what God commanded us to do? Take the gospel and preach it. Teach it. And it doesn't have to be a formal setting such as we're in today. It can be across the kitchen table. It can be sitting in one's living room, discussing the Word of God, how God has determined that one comes to an understanding of His salvation plan, and then helping them participate in that plan. But it takes time for folks to grow and to mature and to become profitable. In Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39, I want you to read with me about a person who perhaps had not grown as much as he should, who later we will see did grow, did mature. We know that this is when Paul and Barnabas were traveling about and they were going from place to place and they were preaching and teaching the gospel, carrying out the Great Commission. And they decided they'd go back to some of the same places they've been and see how the brethren were doing. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Just after that, we find out that Paul joined himself to Silas, and then we have two evangelistic teams going about and teaching and preaching the gospel. It doesn't say that we're not going to have contentions as Christians. It does tell us, though, that there are some who have not matured at a certain point so that they could be profitable to the work. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, we see that time, in a conjunction with work and growth, eventually made Mark, that's John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, profitable for the work of the Lord. It's amazing as you look at young Christians. Sometimes they have a zeal. I wish that all Christians would have some of the zeal that young Christians have. I wish old people like myself would have the energy and the zeal that young people have. But that's just not the way of life. But when it comes to our maturity in Christ, it doesn't matter how old we are. It matters how hard we work and how we spend our time to grow and mature. John Mark became profitable. The Apostle Paul was directed there to write, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and for the ministry." You see what happened over time there? John Mark, who was young, who perhaps was afraid, who perhaps was worried about what was going to happen to them while they traveled in strange places, among strange people, decided, you know what? I'm going to cut this journey short. Then later on, Paul recognized the growth. He recognized the maturity that time had brought. Also, time has the power to help you to allow it to pass very quickly. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51, we see just a brief glimpse into the life of Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. We know that he had to do a number of different things after having been sold into bondage by his brethren. But that time seemed very short when he had a child. And he named that child accordingly. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said, "He hath made me forget all my toil and my father's house." You know what Joseph was doing? It didn't matter that he was not with his family. It did not matter that he was in a strange country among strange people. He did what he truly loved. He served God. And in serving God, he was blessed. And in being blessed, he said, "All this time doesn't matter." Matter of fact, we saw later that he even told his brethren that God had sent him there to preserve Israel. So time has a great deal of power, but time also has some weaknesses. You know, time has no power over God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we know that God created time for our benefit. He did so that we can measure our span upon the earth. The Bible speaks about tomorrow or today. But this passage tells us that time does not matter to God. It has no power over God. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Why not? Because God is eternal. He had no beginning. There's no reason for him to mark time. He gave us time. Time means nothing to him. He had no beginning. He has no end. It does not have any effect upon him. But time also exposes our weaknesses. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 through 6. And we'll see that as time passes, we are to, one, examine ourselves. Two, to be honest with ourselves and be honest before God. And three, make the necessary changes. So time will expose our weaknesses if we are honest. The psalmist was directed to write, "Lord, make me to know mine end and to measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, verily, man in his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Time, while spent here on earth, also exposes our physical weaknesses. I often like to think I can do anything that I have ever done. The truth of the matter is, I can do a lot of the things that I used to do, but it takes me longer to do them, and it takes me longer to recover from doing them. But time runs out for all humanity, even God in the flesh. You ever thought about that? Jesus had a limited amount of time. And in John chapter 9 and verse 4, as he was explaining to his apostles, they perhaps wondered why he didn't rest more, why he didn't take his leisure, why he didn't, as some people would say, enjoy life. I think Christ enjoyed life very much. You know why? Because he was pleasing his Father in heaven. But he said to them there in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And so our weaknesses are exposed in time. God had a limited time frame, God's time frame, for his Son to accomplish the Father's will. We also have a limited amount of time. We don't know how much time we have. James chapter 4 and verse 14 also makes this abundantly clear. Our life is but a vapor. But the rest of the time I have this morning, I want to speak about wasted time. It's a shame as I look back there at the clock that has been adjusted and changed to the current time, that it says we only have 15 minutes left. The title of the sermon this morning is another sermon on time. All my sermons are on time. I start them as soon as I can, and I finish them when I'm finished, whatever time it takes. But someone came up with an estimate about how time in the average life is spent. This is how it was broken down. 31% sleeping. 25% working. Now, we're talking about the whole span of life. 12% watching TV or other amusement. 10% in dressing and personal care. 5% or number 5, 8% in eating. I think that's way off with me, but 8% in traveling. Now, I know these numbers are just averages, because that's what these kind of lists are. Not everyone takes as long or participates as often for the same duration for the same things. But we're also acutely aware of the fact that I don't do math very well. So, as I am prone to do, I grabbed a calculator. I came up with 94%. And know that this is not an all-inclusive list. These are just some of the things that we participate in our lives that take up a great deal of time. But this only leaves 6% of our time for all other activities that haven't been listed in this list. I was surprised when I read this list, because not once did it say something about worshiping. Not once did it say something about reading and studying the Bible. If these numbers are correct, what percentage of our life is spent in worship? What percentage of our life is spent in study? What percentage of our life is spent in serving God. Just think about that. How much of our time is wasted? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 shows that time also means nothing to the rest of God's creation. You ever think about that? I mean, I don't know if the squirrel knows it's day or night. I've seen squirrels in the yard at night. It's a rare thing, but it happens. Now, the deer, they stay hidden in the daytime, but I don't think that's having to do with the clock. They know that if they're out during the daytime, people see them and shoot at them, and so they hide in the daytime and come out at night. But they live their lives always fulfilling God's plan for them in life, and they die, and they make room for the next generation to carry out their part in the world that God has created. But there are some great examples, even from nature, so that we might not waste time. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6, beginning. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long without sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. How much more could we get done for the Lord if we were to focus to the task at hand and not spend so much time in wasteful pursuits? That's a question each Christian needs to ask themselves. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4 provides the same idea for us. It tells us the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, understand that made fat here doesn't mean to become overly large. It means to become satisfied, to be fulfilled. And of course, if our focus is upon serving God and spending the time that He has given us in service to Him, we can be satisfied because He's given us the opportunity to do so. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 and following, we find an example of one who did not use his time or ability properly. The other two that are depicted in the parable were not guilty of this, and therefore they were blessed. They took what was offered to them, what was provided for them, and they used it to the benefit of the master. But verse 24 says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. And then in verse 27 tells him what he should have done. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. What did he do? He wasted his time. Verse 30 of the same book and chapter shows clearly what the wasting of our time and the wasting of our ability produces. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. This one is an example regarding the younger widows who had begun to wax wanton against Christ. They've been using their time for their fleshly desires rather than to serve God. They were wasting time. We read about them, and with all they learned to be idle, working about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Note, this applies to men as well. All who waste their time in living for self rather than for the Lord. I think sometimes people think, well, gossip is a woman's sin. I've even heard it said, telegraph. Telephone, tell a woman, no, tell anybody, male or female, and it will travel around the world. But regardless of the gender of the person who is involved in this, the point is that they were wasting their time. They were doing things for which there was no benefit. Also, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we should be able to see that our time here is preparing for that which is available beyond. Why are we here? What are we doing here? What is our time here on earth all about? It's not just enjoying the labors of our hands, or the fruits of the labors of our hands. It's not just to get to know people. It's not just to get to spend a period in these physical bodies, which are filled with pain and discomfort and all sorts of things. Notice what the Spirit had the Apostle Paul tell the brethren in Philippi. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? He's saying we must spend our time in preparation to reach the right goal. Just figure. You have a group of archers standing there. Ready. They draw their bow. Aim. They point in whatever direction. Fire. Well, now, if they've not been told where to aim, they're liable to shoot each other, hadn't they? Or what target to go toward. God has given us a target. He has also given us the time to prepare ourselves so that we might make it to that place which he has directed. While we're here on earth, we must use our time keeping on God's side. I've had somebody to say to me, you know, as long as God's on my side, I don't have anything to worry about. Better stop and think about where all blessings come from. How many blessings you provided for God? Now you can please him, but all blessings come from him. Every good thing comes from God. We must remain on God's side. That's the thought in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Those who would be in opposition to God, those who would be in opposition to those who are serving God, those who are spending their time serving God sometimes get discouraged. Perhaps that's why this was written. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we remain on God's side, we're not wasting our time. We're spending our time preparing ourselves to spend eternity with God. Anything else is a total waste of time. And God is only for us if we follow him according to his word. We cannot follow man's doctrine and expect God to be for us. There are those who are mistakenly following man-made doctrine and expecting God to be for them, expecting God to hear their prayers. God even said in the Old Testament to those disobedient children of his, to one of the prophets, don't even pray for them. They're not to pray because I will not hear them. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 16 clearly indicates that excuses, that laziness and man's wisdom is not acceptable with God. We have many passages that talk about people making excuses. I like that passage when the Lord talks about those who, one of them bought some animals and he said, I've never proven them. Have me excused. Another one says, I bought a piece of land. I've not even seen it. I need to go see it. Please have me excused. And then the most ridiculous one of all, the one that's even used today. I have a wife. I can't come. That doesn't work. Excuses do not work. Laziness will not work. It will not permit us to use our time properly. Any attempt to use any of these are a total waste of time. The slothful man said, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so also slothful in his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. You know why? Because he's not done anything to gain. He's not done anything to provide food for himself. Verse 16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The sluggard will find a way to justify what it is that he wants to justify, and in so wastes his time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 shows that how we use our time will come back to condemn us if it's not used in the right manner and for the right thing. The fact of the matter is that not one of us know how long we have on this earth. I have talked to a number of Christians who became Christians in what they call the golden years. And most of them lament the fact that they waited so long, that they wasted so many years when they had perhaps the time, the energy, the resources, whereby they might acceptably serve God and perhaps reach some lost soul with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be responsible for our time. The wise man was directed to write, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." The question then that needs to be asked this morning is, how are you spending your time? I know the first thing that people say is an excuse. "Well, I've got responsibilities." Take a number and get in line. We all do. "Well, I have this to do and I have that to do. I have too much to do. I can't read and study the Bible because I'm too busy." Friends, we cannot be too busy to do what God said, or we're wasting our time. Have we used our time to learn what God would have us to do to be saved? Those of us who are members of the body of Christ perhaps have done so. But if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you've not done so. Why is this? If not, you're wasting your time, that precious commodity that God has provided for you. Why not become a child of God today, while you still have time to do so? Remember James 4:14? Our life is but a vapor. I mean, it is gone very quickly. Perhaps some do not know how they are to use their time to become a child of God, or the things that they need to do to become a child of God. Earlier when I was talking, I said there was going to be a little bit of a surprise. I have it on good authority that there are going to be 4 souls added to the body of Christ this day. That will take place here in this building, here in just a few minutes. They are from a neighboring congregation, and I got a call from the preacher who said, "Can we use your baptistry?" I didn't have to say, "What for?" I said, "When?" If it would have been right now, we'd have been on the road. We'd have come over here. We'd have taken care of it. He says, "No, we're going to be over there at 1 o'clock. He said, "You get finished about 1 o'clock, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." What I was thinking. He said, "We'll be there at 1 o'clock. I called him right back. I said, "Hey, brother, I messed up. I finished at 12. He said, "We'll be there at 12. It's almost 12. But here's a great thing. It only takes a few minutes. It only takes a little while. Why, when the brethren met me over here and Tony was baptized, it took longer for him to change clothes than it did to baptize him. But he's now a part of the body of Christ. And you can spend your next few minutes preparing yourself and becoming part of the body of Christ. That is not a waste of time. What is one to do? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. We see that Timothy was told, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." When the gospel is preached, it is to be heard. So one is to hear the word of God. One must also believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As John chapter 8 and verse 24 says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Friends, anybody that dies in their sins have wasted their time. They've wasted every moment that God has given them. But before one can be saved, after hearing and believing, they must repent. They must turn away from that life of sin. And some people want to justify it by saying, "You know, I'm really not all that bad. There's no such things as big sins and little sins in the eyes of God. And every sin that man participates in separates him from God." And you have to turn away from those sins. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Those people were told, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." You know what that tells me? That if one will not repent, those sins will not be blotted out. and they've wasted their time. They must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. That's a very simple thing. I instruct brethren that all they have to do is affirm it. I will ask them the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? It's a very emotional thing when a person is baptized, and I don't know that I could have said a sentence, but I could say yes. And that's what I did. And then one is to be baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. One is not saved until they are baptized into Christ. Therefore, if they are not saved, they are outside of Christ and they have wasted their time. But then it is possible that we're going to be granted some time after becoming a child of God. What are we to do with that? Well, the main thing is to remain faithful until death. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You know why? Because they heard the word. They believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They repented of their sins, confessed before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they were baptized into Christ, but then they wasted their time and prepared themselves for condemnation. It is also possible that there are some here who realize, perhaps we've wasted our time. They've slid back into sin or have unrepented sin in their lives. We need to apply the teaching of Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. If such is your case, as an erring Christian, we need to come back to the Lord in repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The song of invitation is Time Enough Yet. I know it's just slightly after 12. I know that the brethren from the other congregation will be here very shortly. But don't let that stop you. You have time to obey the gospel. And there is no guarantee that you'll have time at a later date. Don't be like Felix. Don't wait for a convenient season. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the first and second verse in the chorus, and then the fourth verse in the chorus. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?